We're live!
Yay!
Yay.
Welcome to Pack Tactics, a Circulus spin-off game that features four delightful little kobolds. I'm going to let the players introduce themselves because I'll probably screw it up if I try.
As usual. My name is Chris. I am playing Sox. I am a monk kobold, and I love him. He's adorable.
I'm Jen, and I'm playing Gox, brother of Sox, or so they believe. He's a kobold barbarian, and his pronouns are he, him, but my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Ellie. I'm she, her, and I'm playing Daldane, a kobold bard.
I'm Io. I'm playing Zeli Ikta, kobold sorcerer. She uses she, her, but I use they, them.
And I am Crash, he, him, and I will be your DM for this evening. And whether or not I am evil is up for debate based on conversation that we had before we started.
He's evil.
Everything's evil, Grandpa.
I just want attention.
Ah, Simpsons. I remember when they were funny. Good times.
Wait, they were funny?
They were. They were. The early seasons were pretty good. Until they started repeating jokes over and over again. But this is not the Simpsons podcast. This is something else entirely.
It's the Futurama podcast.
Ooh, Futurama's great.
Okay, well, in our last session, the party managed to kill a red dragon. It wasn't a big red dragon. It was a medium red dragon. It was about, like, there are dragonborn that lift. Dost thou even hoist? Yes, they do. There are dragonborn that are larger than the dragon that you killed, but a medium-sized dragon versus small kobolds, that's still a decent fight. It was a bit harrowing.
Impressive.
Yeah, there was one person rendered unconscious, and then...
Me. It was me.
And then Zeli came back and turned it into a dragon sickle.
Don't mess with the sorcerer.
So, after that... And some maniacal laughter. You went back and were received by the Chipped Claw Clan. And they were quite happy that the threat had gone away. There were some that were less happy, but they were sort of on the side of the ones that were doing the whole sacrifice to a dragon thing. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another. Some squads were sent out to explore the area that had apparently been this dragon's lair, which was on the map that I showed you in both of our previous game sessions, and none of you said anything about it. In the room with the giant stalagmite pillar, there was a little S written on it for secret door.
Didn't realize.
I forgot to get rid of that. But...
So there is, wow.
Yeah. Remember what I was saying about if I had a dollar for every time I dropped a hint and you didn't pick up on it? This was an inadvertent hint, but still. With that done, they did discover some treasure and some magical items. Not a whole lot. This was a young dragon. It was still getting its horde started. But some of those items were provided to you as the heroes who slew this incredible beast. So, Sox, what did you get?
What did Sox get? Sox got bracers of defense. While wearing them, I increase my AC by 2 when not wearing armor or a shield.
And Zeli, what did you get?
Zeli got a cloak of displacement, which imposes disadvantage on attack rolls against her. Though if she takes damage, this stops working until the start of her next turn. And it doesn't work if she's incapacitated or restrained or such, but it's great. She is still continuing in her quest to not get hit by things.
It is a good quest. I fully endorse the quest of not getting hit. And Daldane, what did you get?
I got a DOS loot, which lets me make other people invisible.
Among other things. Yes, which we will go into later, probably. And there were a bunch of other magical items and trinkets and things that some of them were identified, some of them weren't. They're sort of just kept communally in the we'll sort this out later pile. But each of you got something except for socks. Not socks, Gox. You need shirts. One of them says, I'm socks, that's Gox. And the other one says the other thing. Making a Critical Role reference.
We need Vex and Vax shirts, yeah.
Yes, pretty much. Well, Gox in particular didn't get any items from this treasure trove. None of them really looked that interesting to him. However, you did have a red dragon corpse. And after Zili cut off the wings to keep as trophies, which are mounted in the common area for the kobold lair, I want to say they're right on the inside of the main entrance, so every time a kobold enters in, it looks like they have giant red wings sticking up from their back.
And awesome.
It's possible that some of the kobolds, when they enter in, just sort of stop in that doorway and make angry faces and wave their arms around until the person behind them shoves them out of the way so they can do it. But there's a lot of enjoyment from that. Zili is... you're all considered heroes, but Zili has a bit of a following from some of the younger kobolds. And the rest of the dragon was, after some talk with the priests of Bahamut that are in the temple above, they managed to find an armorsmith that was willing to work with it, and they took the scales and they made something and gave it to Gox. So Gox, what did you get?
Gox has a dragon's... he's got red dragon scale mail now, which I'm understanding includes like the chest piece and sort of leather pants with scales on them, something like that. There will be art for this soon. I'm going to work on that. So what this does is it increased his armor class and gives him saving throws against breath weapons and fire damage, and also lets him... as an action, discern distance and direction to the closest red dragon within 30 miles, roughly. That's about, you know, it's kind of what it does. And he loves it. He thinks it makes him look very strong.
All right. So you all got something out of it. And they fit with your characters perhaps better than if you swapped. So there is that. And Tess is a bit better, let's say. Don't get me wrong, Tess is still an idiot.
Huh.
Yep.
But Tess is understanding a bit more about how just because he is the leader, and he's supposed to be the leader because he is the oldest, doesn't mean that he will always know everything. So he has, on occasion, taken various kobolds aside to ask for their advice on something. And he has done this with each of you for one thing or another. And some of you he asks for advice more often. Some of you he does not. Zili, he does ask you for a little help with spellcasting. And he doesn't do this with witnesses, but he does ask you for a little help. He's not that happy with the fact that his magic missile looks more like he's throwing spitballs. And he was wondering if he could help, if you could help him out.
Yeah. Zili will give him a bit of help. She's actually being somewhat less of a disaster than usual herself after this. She feels less like she's got something to prove.
Okay. Would like you to give me... let's see, what kind of check would this be? Looking over the various items on here, let's go with, give me a performance check.
Daldane thinks Tess should lean into it and trademark Nerf magic.
Oh, wow, that's only a six.
Okay,
so... sorcerers are innate casters. She's not great at teaching.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, how do you teach someone to walk? We learn it at such a young age, it just comes natural now. You don't think, okay, lift one foot up. No, bend the knee. No, not like that. It's
Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Exactly.
God damn.
Or when you're trying to teach someone how to speak with an accent, most people don't realize that you're changing where you're focusing in your mouth. Some accents focus in the front, some accents focus in the back, and things like that. And that changes the quality of the sound that's coming out of your mouth. If people are listening to the words coming out of your mouth, then yes, I'm totally making a Rush Hour reference. So you do your best, but it is something that's more ingrained and comes naturally, so it doesn't work so well. But still, Tess is grateful that you were willing to try. So, you know, your relationship is getting a bit better. It's a bit less strained than when you were just going around telling everyone that Tess was a pretender. Tess is still a pretender, but it's not as heated. As for Gox and Sox, Tess doesn't always come to you for advice.
Because we threatened them on multiple occasions.
Well, you have the feeling that Tess might be intimidated by you. Also, things where the best solution would be to hit the trouble really hard with something. you don't usually need to ask someone for advice for that. It's, oh yeah, yeah, this is something that should be hit really hard. Let's move on. Dull day, and every now and then you're asked for advice with some internal conflicts where two kobolds aren't getting along and how best to diffuse the situation, stuff like that. Or
why can't rule be friends? Why can't rule be friends?
Exactly. And every now and then, if people are getting particularly bored, you're asked for advice. But there is one point when Tess does ask you all to come visit him, and he lets you know that he does have a job for the four of you. It is a job that he doesn't think he could entrust to most other kobolds that are in the clan. You are the most reliable, the most resilient kobolds that he knows, and this is a job that's going to require those things. Unless you're not up for it.
We're always up for it.
Well, can I steal things?
The opportunity might arise, but it's possible that you will have to use your skill to stop others from stealing things.
While stealing them first.
Tess shrugs and is like, well, if that's the best way to do it, then that's what you do.
Could be fun.
What's the job, Your High Mightiness?
He motions for you to follow him, and you go to a part of the settlement that you haven't normally gone to. Kobolds in the Chipclaw clan are given a variety of jobs that suits their special skills better. There are ones that are better at farming, so that's what they do. There are ones that are better at cooking, so they do more of that. The four of you have shown that you're pretty good at slaying big things that eat little things like kobolds. So you haven't been given a lot of duties that involve waste management or cooking or cleaning or anything like that. Tess says, right through this door is your job. Don't worry. You only need to do it for about one day, and then you can give it back to the people who do it normally. Have fun. And then he's out of there.
Does that mean we need to leave whatever it is alive?
He didn't say that.
You hear his voice call back to you. Yes, don't kill anyone.
Aww.
Well, don't kill any kobolds.
Okay.
Celia opens the door. Regularly. She does not open the door like she's been opening doors.
Okay. Sox jumps back a little and tries to hide to make sure that whatever jumps out doesn't see him.
And Gox goes to the front just in case something jumps out.
Okay, so you prepare for battle in your various ways.
Yes.
The 20 from us.
This room has some bedding in various locations. Three small beds have little mounds underneath the blankets. So you believe that they are inhabited. And there are a couple kobolds that see you open the door. And a kobold smile is not very nice when a non-kobold is looking at it. There's a lot of teeth in there. But thank you, Ellie. Thank you, Ellie, for posting that to Discord. It was only a matter of time before somebody did.
I'm looking at it.
I know. It's kind of, it's hypnotic and kind of distracting.
It kind of is, yeah.
Like, yes. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's
El Dorado accurate, was though. A fantastic movie.
Pretty accurate, though.
I just love the expression. That's all. Loop playing intensifies.
Yeah.
But this is an audio format podcast, so this is going to be weird. So they smile, and they are very happy to see you. And, oh, thank goodness. We've been asking for a day off for so long. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bedtime is whenever you can get them to sleep. They usually eat whatever you can get in their mouths. Good luck, good luck, good luck. And they're saying this as they're going through the door, and they slam it behind them.
Bye. Oh.
The slamming of the door. And idly you think, we don't have a lot of doors between the sleeping chambers and the various alcoves, but this one does have a door. Maybe that's important for a reason. Well, it wakes up your charges. Three little kobold heads peek up from under their blankets.
Aww. Cute little guys.
Nope, 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 nope.
Why?
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this.
I'm not a babysitter. I'm not doing it. Nope, nope.
But
nope.
They're cute.
And you're going to hug them, and you're going to squash their heads, and then it'll be my fault.
No, I'm not going to squash their heads. I'm just going to wave at them. Hi, little kobold. What's your names?
Now, these are not freshly hatched, but these are very young kobolds, so they don't have a lot of words that they can use. But one of them goes, Otta!
Your name is Otta?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Otta. My name is Gox.
Otta!
You know, I sort of have assumed that there was a crash somewhere, but I guess not.
Well, keep in mind, when this influx of non-Chipclaw kobolds came in and joined the Chipclaw clan, the Chipclaw had been reduced to about 12 members. So they didn't have a whole lot of kobolds that were ready to lay eggs at the time. This latest batch, they only had 3 eggs that weren't destroyed in whatever happened that brought them here. There are more eggs than 3 now, but they're not quite ready to hatch. It does take a little while. This is just the first batch to hatch since they came here. The next one refers to itself as Mata, and it's able to actually do a better job of saying Gox, but it says Ox.
Aw, they can't get my name right. They're so cute.
Ox! It looks over at Daldane. Ox?
Daldane.
Ox!
I don't think they're ready for your name.
I have a long name.
Yeah.
Ox, ox, ox! Sox, what's your passive perception?
12.
All right, so you don't see it coming. There is a baby kobold on your back.
Oh, look! One found you!
Get
you
it
have a friend!
Ox!
Kind of. They almost have it.
Get it off.
Okay, I reach over and hope the little baby kobold will jump into my hands instead.
It tentatively comes over. You notice it has wings.
Ooh. Well, look, guys. It's got wings. Have you ever seen a kobold with wings? It's so cute.
Yes, every time someone comes into that one chamber.
Daladane has a point there, yes.
Well, this kobold has its own personal set of wings.
I've never seen one of these.
So we have Otta, Mata, and the one that Gox is holding.
Peya!
Okay.
They know their names. I'm so cute.
All right.
Sox just kind of sits down and just starts pulsing a radiant sun orb in his hand and just kind of throws it back and forth in between his two hands.
The one that you think is named Mata comes over and tries to catch it.
I wouldn't do that. It'll hurt.
They don't know any better.
I just rolled for Mata. Mata does come in contact to the, with the orb.
It's a D4 plus 4 of damage.
There is a burning smell.
That's 5 damage.
These babies do not have 5 hit points. There is a burning smell, and now there is a winged kobold lying belly up with its legs sort of pointed
Don't hang!
Oh no! What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
I was talking to the kobold that's on the ground.
Kill it!
I'm getting to there. I have to actually touch it. And yes, I will cast Cure Wounds.
I murdered a child.
Wow.
That's what happened. This is why people with newborns that, well, not newborns, but children that are starting to be able to crawl around and walk around tend to have to baby-proof their houses and take everything with sharp edges and move them away and draw little bunny faces on the outlets to scare the children. And yes, I'm aware that bunnies don't tend to scare most children, but they will be scared of them after they stick something in an outlet that looks like a bunny.
Wow.
That's a Simpsons reference again.
Oh.
So that's 7 hit points restored.
Okay, that is several times over the max hit points for these little baby kobolds. By the way, all 3 of them have wings. And when you heal Mata, all 3 of them just like start flying around in the air around each other, and they give happy little chirps.
You think it'll learn?
Look how cute!
Have they said anything? Have they said anything other than Ada, Mata, Heya, and Ox?
Peya, actually.
Peya.
The P.
I misheard.
Ada, Mata, and Peya.
I'm surprised it took you that long.
I thought it was Heya.
I thought that too.
I didn't actually catch that the third one had a name.
Automatopoeia.
Oh my. Okay.
They've been mostly making sounds. Some of them are kind of like words.
But they're definitely communicating with each other.
In the sense that, say, 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds might communicate with others, yes. Or in the sense that my cat communicates with me when he wants something.
Gotcha. I cast Comprehend Languages.
Ooh. Of course, I wouldn't know you're doing that, but that's a good idea.
I know Comprehend Languages has a minimum threshold, or does it, for intelligence of the creature?
It does not. For the duration, you understand the literal meaning of any spoken language that you hear.
What's the duration?
An hour.
Okay. It is very, very rudimentary in the sense that it's not so much a language, it's language adjacent. And one of the things you do sort of get the sense of from casting this spell is that they're hungry.
Hungry. I don't doubt it. We'll have any moots.
Is there any food in here?
Do we have moots?
What was our consensus on the talking meat? Because we could just use one of them to feed the other 2.
No. Tess said not to kill the kobolds. We already did. Zaladane fixed it. Let's not kill any more kobolds.
Gox, one of them lands on your head.
Aw, cute. So he's sitting on the hat that Meepo gave Gox, and it's pink and purple with 3 little red flowers. Don't eat the flowers, little guy. Oh.
Noted. Easy way to get Gox on your side. Have
fun. So I'm going to take the little kobold off of my head and kind of like tap him on his back very gently so he can spit out whatever he's choking on that was part of my hat.
It's a very large flower petal.
Oh, here. Give me that. I kind of like try to get it.
It didn't get down its throat. It got stuck on its teeth.
Okay, so I gently try to pick it off his teeth. Don't eat those, little guy. It's not food.
Food?
I have rations in my pack, so I'm going to break one of those into 3 parts and offer it to the babies.
Okay. Ada and Mata, dig in. Peya is trying currently to chew on Sox's tail.
He's restraining.
I see my brother getting mad, and I go pick up the little kobold and bring him over
you
to the food.
You pick up Sox's tail with the kobold.
Oops, you gotta drop that, little guy. We've got real food.
I'm going to punch him if he keeps it up.
No punching!
I don't like children.
I tickle the little kobold so he laughs children. And drops the food.
Okay, give me...
Not food. Sorry.
Give me a persuasion check.
Me?
Yes, you are trying to convince Peya to...
Not to eat my brother.
To not eat talking meat.
Yeah. Oh, it fell. What we got? I've got a 4. And persuasion has a +0, so I have a 4.
Okay, so you attempt to convince Peya to not eat Sox's tail. But with words and tickling, Peya decides to shake their head to say no. But in the process, it's kind of like when a dog grabs a bone or a piece of meat and shakes it back and forth. But imagine if the piece of meat the dog is biting is several times larger than the dog. So it doesn't move a whole lot, but the teeth are getting in a little bit deeper.
Daladane, could you hold up some food?
You have taken 1 point of damage.
Could you feed this one?
No scales that are on the elephant.
You're Cylon.
You're one Phil Cylon.
Yeah. Give it a minute, it'll probably fix. Daladane, could you hold some real food up to this little guy?
I do. Hold some real food up.
Okay.
Better listen, better do what you're told. You haven't touched it, even touched your tuna casserole. You better chow down or it's gonna get cold. So,
persuasion check with advantage. Okay, so I see a 14 and a 13. Well, you know what? The 14 does it.
Okay.
It reluctantly lets go of the tail and eats the food that you're providing.
Okay, little kobolds. This is how you tell food from not food. Food does not talk. If it talks, don't eat it.
They blink at you.
Aw, they're so cute.
Mama?
Oh.
No, not the mama.
Oh, sweet Paylor.
Okay, so lunch or dinner or whatever meal this is concludes. And now it's playtime. How do you intend to keep them occupied? Because otherwise they're going to go back to trying to chew on one of you.
Let's see if I have anything fun.
You have a vague recollection of the two kobolds that were in here that you're giving them a break by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They did have bandages.
Oh.
Silly cast mold earth to start putting together a little playground
thing.
Okay, so distortion has got to the point where there's a time dilation and it sounds like there's two of them.
It sounds like Zeely is talking to us from beyond another dimension. She's speaking to us from through the veil.
I don't know what my mic is doing.
I kind of like the effect, to be honest. It's not as clear to understand, but it does amuse me. So, to reiterate, you cast Mold Earth and you create sort of like things for them to climb on and stuff. And they kind of like the idea of climbing, but they've got wings, so they don't prefer to climb. They just sort of like fly to the top of it. And then they have a game of King of the Hill or Queen of the Hill. You haven't determined their, sex yet. It doesn't really matter at that age. And they're having a pretty good go at it. I'm going to roll to see how they do. Okay, actually, they're having a pretty bad go of it. Because that was 3 very low rolls. Peya has the worst of it. In that when they manage to get onto the top of one of the towers that you construct for them to climb around on, they perch there and immediately slide off the other side. And sort of flip backwards and land right on their back. and just look up at it like, I was there.
Oh, no.
Why am I not there now? They haven't quite figured out this thing called gravity yet. Ada and Mata have a shoving match on top of the same pillar, totally ignoring everything else that you've constructed with Mold Earth. It was just this pillar seems to be the most interesting thing to them.
How much do they weigh?
More than a couple pounds. Okay. Mage Hand could carry them. If you could catch them. Catching them might be the hard part. Mata does manage to shove Ada off and then does a victory dance on top of the pillar. And I rolled a 4 for their performance check. So their victory dance causes them to fall backwards as well and land on top of Paya.
Oh, no. I go pick the kobolds off of each other. Careful, little guys.
Eldaine will play little encouraging accompaniment for all of this.
When you play, they swirl around you on their wings. Sort of an aerial dance.
Ooh, they like that.
I'll keep playing then.
I'm just going to go back up to that animated GIF that you posted in chat. just imagine little winged kobolds flying around in that image. That works.
Oh, they look like they're having so much fun.
Okay, so playtime.
Someday I'm going to learn how to fly magically, and then I'll be able to do that.
It looks like fun. So I'm going to sit on the floor and watch the baby kobolds fly around Aladane and listen to the pretty music.
Okay. Playtime looks like it's coming to a bit of an end. The baby kobolds are starting to yawn here and there.
Oh, they're getting sleepy now. Are they still flying?
They fly more than they crawl, which is wearing them out a bit, perhaps. But they're still, like, trying to play.
Aww. They're so cute.
I will switch over to a lullaby.
Okay. Ada curls up underneath Gox's hat.
Gox allows this.
Your hat is a couple pounds heavier than it was before.
That's okay.
And there's a tail sticking out over top of one of your eyes.
I slightly, gently move it out of the way of my eye.
A foot replaces it.
Oh, no. I tuck the foot back under the hat.
And you start to hear a very soft snoring sound.
Aw, it's snoring. So cute.
Meta and Paya rolled a bit higher on their constitution saves. And so they decide the best way to stay awake in spite of being tired. No, they're not tired. They're clearly not tired. They don't need to go to bed. They can stay up. Well, they decide the best way to deal with this is to start a fight with each other.
Are they still flying? Are they still flying?
They're on the ground and biting each other.
Can I reach them from where I'm sitting without moving? Because I don't want to disturb the one that's sleeping on my hat or under my hat.
They're just out of reach, to be honest.
Oh.
All things considered, they're probably closer to socks.
Hey, socks, can you, like, pick them up and separate those two before they hurt each other? I can't move. I have a kobold sleeping on my head.
Okay, that is something that needs to be posted to Out of Context D&D. That right there is a wonderful line. Io, if you don't post it, I will.
Go ahead. Am I still a robot?
You are
no,
not.
No, you're
a
better
robot.
Now.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I believe you are a kobold.
Good. I'm glad I'm back to being a regular kobold and not, like, speaking through a tin can or something. Iron can?
You'll have to listen to the recording afterwards. The effect was kind of weird, but kind of neat.
It's kind of neat.
Okay. Sox, as you're watching these two kobolds fight, you see Mata. That'd be something different. That would involve a lot of looks towards the fourth wall. You see Mata grab hold of Ada as Ada lunges forward, and they sort of shift their weight and flip Ada over on their back. And they just sort of blink at that. Like, they didn't think that would work, but it worked.
Huh.
That's, then it does a victory lap around you.
Oh. Mm, okay.
They're better at this than I would have expected a little hatchling to be.
They were interesting, then they start doing laps.
I don't think those two are tired yet.
It trips a tune that's very similar to Eye of the Tiger, but not quite. Otta starts to snore. Otta is still flat on its back from where it landed from the fight. And it's just like, oh, this is my life now. I'm sleeping here. And Mata, as it's doing its victory lap around Sox, goes around behind Sox, but doesn't come back out the other side.
Where'd he go?
Zili peers around Sox.
Rather than jump over Sox's tail, Mata just sort of like came up to it and laid down across it so that its arms are on one side and its legs are on the other, and its head's hanging down, and it's also asleep.
They're taking a nap.
Seems like it.
Is there a nesting area?
The eggs are kept in a different chamber, possibly because these children might do bad things to the eggs if they were kept in the same room with it.
Sorry, I meant, is there a place where they sleep?
Yeah, this is the room. This is the nursery.
But in the nursery, is there like a bed area and a play area, or is it just all one and the same?
It's kind of scattered, but there is bedding for them to sleep in. None of them are sleeping in their bedding. They were in the bedding when the door was slammed and they woke up.
Now that they're asleep, let's try to actually get them to bed.
How?
Well, Deldane could cast Mage Hand again.
It's true. I will cast Mage Hand and try and scoop up Otta, the one who's lying on their back.
Okay. Give me a sleight of hand check.
I actually have a point in that.
I'm sorry?
I actually have a point in that.
Ah, wonderful. Okay.
Wow.
That's a 22. That's fantastic. So you cast Mage Hand, and it's like a cloud slowly lifts Otta from the ground, moves Otto over to some bedding, slowly pulls over a blanket and tucks it in ever so gently, fluffs the pillow slightly.
Daldun does not think she can do that again.
Well, currently the other two baby kobolds have selected other members of the party as their beds. So
it's true.
What do Gox and Sox do?
I'm going to let this one sleep under my hat, because it's adorable.
It farts.
Oh, no. Bad decision. Maybe we should put them back to bed.
So, I've got one lying at my tail.
Mm-hmm.
You suspect that you are dexterous enough that you could get up and walk around and it would just stay there.
Mm. I walk around over to its bed and just,
Sleight of hand check.
Okay. 15 plus 6, 21.
That's sufficient. So you're able to carry it over on your tail to some bedding. And you sort of just angle the tail just right so it sort of slides down your tail and rolls right into bed. Do you tuck it in or no?
I tuck it in.
Good job, Sox.
Hey, children.
You did good with that one, though.
Okay. There's one remaining.
One kobold. One baby kobold.
You're just going to leave it under your hat?
I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe it should go to bed too, because the other ones are. So I'm going to try to get up really slowly and kind of carefully walk over to the other little bed. And I don't know what I'm going to do once I get there. I'll see if it's awake yet.
Sleight of hand check.
Okay. 12 plus 2.
It starts to stir a little bit as you place it on its bed.
I cover him up real gentle and like pat him. Go to sleep, little guy.
Give me a persuasion check.
Okay, I've rolled an 11, and persuasion is a +0. I have an 11. So I'm going, shh, go to sleep. You were sleeping. Go to sleep. Okay.
So unfortunately, you are a barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
This is not usually an unfortunate thing. You like being tough and strong and running mm-hmm. into battle and chopping things up. So your idea of I'm going to gently say go to sleep, go to sleep is go to sleep.
Oops.
It's like Possible's canon.
Oh, no.
as performed by Metallica.
Oops. What's the little kobolds doing?
Its eyes shoot open and it starts to cry.
Oh no, I scared him.
Zeeley comes over and sort of, hey, it's okay. He's
and I'll,
loud.
I'll back away a little
sleep.
Bit.
The cry
I'll
wakes
keep
up
him
Anna.
From being...
Oh,
Anna starts to cry.
Oh no.
No, it's all right.
Oh, no.
You can all
Anna's
go to sleep
sleeping.
And I'll make sure that he's not loud anymore. Okay?
Didn't mean
perception
to scare
checks.
The BBs. Everybody?
Everyone.
Oh, all right.
What was it?
Perception.
Okay.
17.
I've rolled a 1.
That is not.
I have a +2, so that's a 3.
Okay.
I'm very distraught about scaring the baby kobolds.
Yeah, your focus is on the ones that are screaming.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, this is disturbing.
And we got 2 14s from Zeeley and Daldane. I'm trying very hard to not refer to you as Ellie and Io. I'm getting better at this. That is unfortunately... that is unfortunately not high enough for you to notice. But
a 17.
A 17 will do it. A 17 will do it. You notice as your compatriots are trying hard to have the sleeping kobolds, well, not the screaming kobolds, switch to sleeping kobolds, that Mata isn't sleeping through this. You don't see Mata.
Oh, no. We lost a kobold.
Oh, no.
What? How did we lose a kobold that was already in bed?
Mata! And I want to look around.
I guess I got out of bed.
I have a riddle for you.
Okay.
When is a door not a door?
Oh, no.
When is it with a fireball?
I didn't do it!
That is also true, but in this case, the door is ajar.
Uh-oh.
You guys get them to sleep. I'll find her.
Be nice. Be nice to the little guy.
I'll run out and try and find the goal.
Okay, so you run out the door.
Close the door.
Give me a dexterity check.
Check or save?
I'm going to say check. A save would be if you're trying to avoid injury.
Okay.
Or a save would be if you're avoiding injury. A check is you want to do something.
12.
Okay, so you slam the door on your friends. But two bat-like creatures that are vaguely kobold-shaped fly through the door and past you as you slam it.
No! No!
Wait.
Zeeley opens the door again and goes racing off herself.
Now give me a dexterity save.
Okay.
Gox is staring at the flying things going, are those more baby kobolds?
No, the two kobolds that were crying flew out the door.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And the person making the save here is Sox.
Even though I rolled lore, still a 12 because my extra +2 for saves.
Okay, so you manage to narrowly get out of the way of the door as Zeeley opens it quickly to chase after the kobolds. Otherwise, it would have been a scene from Home Alone.
Oh, no.
Or Three Stooges.
I'm not paid enough for this.
No!
So I'm assuming you went after the kobolds?
Yes, kobolds. Well...
I'm going to open the door and go into the hall and look around.
Okay. You see them swooping into one of the sleeping alcoves.
Both of them or just one of them?
The two that are not Mata.
They can deal with them. I'll go and find Mata.
Okay. You don't see Mata. You just know that the door was open and you didn't see Mata in the room.
Can I try and... Oh, no, because she flies. It's very unlikely she's going to actually do footprints. Is there anywhere I can try and track crack the kobold.
Give me a survival check at disadvantage.
I figured at disadvantage, but we can only try. Nope, 5.
Yeah, it's very hard to track something that's airborne that you don't see being airborne. But you did see 2 kobold babies fly into an alcove.
Okay, I'll go with them.
Okay. Well, what follows is a scene from almost every Hanna-Barbera cartoon ever.
Oh, no. Oh, right.
So picture, if you will, a long hallway, which is what the main chamber for the Chipclaw Clan is, with doorways on either side extending down the hallway.
Oh, a Scooby-Doo for that cartoon.
Yeah, yes. Exactly, which is Hanna-Barbera. So you're running in. And then they fly out of another one, and you run into that one, and they fly out, and then you just keep running back and forth.
I have an idea.
The length of an entire song that I'm sure Daldane actually plays.
I have a great idea.
What's your great idea?
Perfect.
Yakety sax? Yes. Yeah,
that's perfect.
We talked over Io's great idea, though.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, web.
Okay. What's the spell description for web?
You conjure a mass of thick, sticky webbing at a point of your choice within range. The webs fill a 20-foot cube from that point for the duration. The webs are difficult terrain and lightly obscure their area. If the webs aren't anchored between two solid mass, etc., but they are, because, like, there are walls in here, each creature that starts its turn in the webs or that enters them during its turn, it must make a dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, the creature is restrained as long as it remains in the webs or until it breaks free. A creature restrained by the webs can use its action to make a strength check against their spell save DC. If it succeeds, it's no longer restrained.
Okay, so what's the roll that I have to make for these little baby kobolds?
Dexterity save against DC 13.
That's a nope. That's a yes. That's a yes. You have successfully captured one of them in the webbing, and it's chirping.
Which one?
You're going to have to get closer. It is slightly obscured.
I'll go up to the one that's got, I want to see which one it is.
Make a DC 13 dexterity save.
25.
Okay, so you easily navigate your way through this webbing. This was the main common area for the Kobold Clan, many of which are not happy with Zeely at the moment.
Oh no, they're all stuck.
I just rolled a natural 1. I'm just rolling for a bunch of them. I haven't rolled higher than 13 yet.
Zeely comes over to retrieve the kobold.
Okay. This is what happens when everybody wants to get wings.
It looks like this is Peya.
Okay, Zeely retrieves Peya and stops concentrating on web.
Okay. Peya was coming out of a particular room. This room also has a door, and you are aware that this particular door is normally closed, but it's open now because Peya just came out of it. It's the room that all the treasure's been kept in.
Tie her wings together or something.
Oh.
She is struggling. Or he. You Peya? Don't know. They are struggling.
We don't know.
Peya, you need to calm down.
Give me a strength check.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Can I try to... I don't know if this is going to be better or worse. Can I try to take the kobold and, like, hold her? Like, put my hand
on her? I somehow got -1.
Kobolds aren't that strong, so here's the thing. I will allow Gox to assist, and what that means is you roll with advantage, so you can roll again. Zeely can roll again.
Okay, so I'm like trying to like put my hands around the little kobold, so if it breaks free, it can't really move too far.
Something like that. A ten is much better. So your grip shifts a few times. You started off holding on to the main center of its mass. Now you're sort of like holding on to the back of its head and its tail. But you do sort of kind of have Peya not escaping. And Peya is chirping its frustration. And there are answering chirps coming from the treasure room. More than one chirp.
Peya, let's play a game. The game's called Hide and Seek. We're looking for your friends. Will you help me find your friends, Peya?
Give me a persuasion check. I love that I'm having you use so many rolls and none of it's combat.
That's true.
21.
Peya is totally on board for this game.
All right, so your friends are hiding and we need to find them. And if we find them, we win. Okay?
Peya is struggling to get out of your grip again.
Oh,
so
no.
So I'm
going to
set you down.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And you're going to help us find them, right?
If you've ever taken an RC car and had it going full throttle and dropped it so it hit the ground with the wheels running, this is kind of what happens when you let go of Peya. They zip right into the treasure chamber.
I try to follow.
Okay. Anyone else go in?
Yep. Zili also goes in.
Yes.
Okay. So you enter, and things are mostly organized in here. Imagine how clean a five-year-old might keep their room. They're organized in piles. Like, I know where everything is in here. But Peya is running around the room and sometimes up the wall and sometimes doing short gliding hops from pile to pile. And then it stops right in front of what looks like a quilt. And it gets down on all fours.
Oh, no.
And lifts one clawed hand and points. I'm assuming that you lift the quilt.
Yeah.
There are two baby kobolds underneath. And one of them is holding a box. A cube.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
It's a mimic. Uh-oh. I kick it.
You what?
No, I'm kidding.
And then everything goes blank. Let's take a break.
Oh, no.
We'll be back in a little bit. And we're back.
More
all right. Great. So, you come to in what looks like a basement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are slightly more civilized kobolds than the Chipclaw clan proper is. You've been in basements before. This appears to be the basement of a farmhouse. You've got a dirt floor. You've got rickety wooden steps that appear to be somewhat disused. And you've got shelves in here attached to the walls, dug into the walls in some places, that are filled with mostly jars but a few boxes.
Do we see the baby kobolds?
You do not see the baby kobolds.
Uh-oh. How did we get here?
I'm really confused. For some reason, my brain decided to do that thing where it conks out for, like, the better part of a sentence, so I just got the tail end of that.
That's okay. Then you're really doing a good job of being a method actor, because none of you has any idea how you got into this basement. But you are, in fact, in a basement.
This is really weird.
Well, to see the rest of the building, you're going to have to go up the stairs, but you know there's a floor above you because if you look up, you see floorboards.
I want to look at the shelves and see if there's food.
Okay. Give me a survival check.
Okay.
How cold is it in here?
It's not really cold, but it's not really warm either. It's kind of like at some point you're going to want to warm up a bit since you're cold-blooded, but it's going to be a little while.
I've rolled an 8, and it was, what was it, survival?
Yeah.
Plus 2.
So you find stuff that you think was food. At some point, it would be classified as food. Those preserves that were in that jar have not been preserved for as long as they would need to be for them to still be called preserves.
So not food.
Not anymore.
Not food. Okay. No food here, guys. And I've just realized I've given Gox the term guys, using it without gender, like people in Chicago. Oops.
We do that in Pennsylvania, too.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is there a staircase up?
Yeah, it's rickety and made of wood, but there's definitely a staircase. You're not entirely sure if it would hold a human's weight. This appears to be the kind of structure that would be made by humans. But you're kobolds, so you don't think it would be a problem.
Okay.
I'm going to send Gox up first.
Okay. I start walking up the stairs.
Okay.
Holding on to my battle axe, just in case.
There is a closed door at the top.
Should I open this door? What do you think?
Baldon says yes.
Okay. And I push on the door to try to open it.
Okay. It's a trap door type thing. So like for someone that's on the floor above you, it would be more of a floor that can move. For you underneath, it's a ceiling that can move. But when you push on it, it leans over on hinges. And eventually when you get past the halfway point, gravity pulls it down. And it hits the floorboards with a thud, and there's a cloud of dust that comes out.
I start coughing. I found dust. I'm going to, like, peek over the edge of the door and see what else I can see. Or the edge of the opening.
You see a rather utilitarian farmhouse. It's a single-room construction. This room has everything that a farmer would want in a house. It's got a table. It's got a fireplace. The fire is not lit in the fireplace. There are various cooking implements hanging up. There is a bed over to one side, and there's some scattered chairs.
Do I see any people of any species?
You see a figure sitting in a chair on the far side of the room. They're doing something. You don't know what. Their back is to you. They are wearing one of those old-school bonnet-type things.
Okay.
That you might see historical reenactors from the 1800s and 1700s do.
Okay. So has the person hasn't noticed me, as far as I can tell?
Nope.
Okay. So I go back down the stairs. Okay, there's a lot of stuff, and there's a person that didn't see me, and they have, like, a funny hat. And I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if there's food, though.
The kobold wearing the wide-brimmed floral bonnet.
Yes.
Refers to someone else's hat as funny looking.
It's a funny hat, yes.
This amuses me on such a deep emotional level.
So let's go see who's up there and what's going on. Why they have a magic portal-y thingy hanging out in their basement?
I don't know.
Tell if he was human.
I don't know. I just saw a person and a funny hat.
They looked the right size to be human.
Oh, okay. They were bigger than kobolds. Bigger than kobolds.
We'll go up the stairs.
Okay.
I will follow.
You see the same thing I just described.
I would like to go up, but try and be stealthy and hide when I get up there.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
Natural 20, so 26.
Ooh.
You melt into the shadows, of which there are many.
Yay.
There's no actual light sources in here.
I'm just about to ask.
There seems to be a little bit of light seeping in through cracks in the walls a little bit. And the shutters, which are also closed, but it's not a whole lot.
The person in the chair didn't respond to the trapdoor falling down.
No, and it was a thump that shook the floorboards.
I'm going to cast message.
Okay.
And I will point at the figure in the chair and say, "Hello, Willcom Intels."
What does message say about who you target?
A creature within 120 feet. Any creature.
Okay.
The target and only the target hears the message and can reply in a whisper that only you can hear. You can cast this spell through solid objects if you're familiar with the target and know it's beyond the barrier. I figure since I can see the hat, I can at least point at the head.
Okay. So you know you've cast the spell properly and you know the message was sent to whoever's sitting in this chair. You do not get a response.
Well, then I'm going to go over there and look and see what this thing actually is.
Okay.
I'm going to follow just in case.
See, Lee, also, comes over to peer curiously.
Waiting in the shadows.
You see a desiccated human corpse.
I don't think they know why there's a thing in their basement.
That must be why they didn't respond to the door, because I was kind of loud.
Well, it is... its eyes have sunken into its head. There's just pools of blackness there. The teeth have shriveled up, so you see that wonderful rictus grin that you see in Halloween stores everywhere. And it is currently knitting.
It's knitting?
It's knitting.
Or it was knitting.
No, it is.
Is it moving?
There's a scan of yarn on its lap, and it is currently knitting what looks to be maybe a scarf.
Is it a reasonable scarf or the world's longest scarf?
It's long for a kobold.
But it hasn't been here for like 100 years knitting the same scarf.
No, it hasn't been knitting the same scarf forever. Unless it's sped up when you got here. Because
Or it's a very slow knitter.
At this speed, it's been knitting for a while, but not 100 years.
Hello?
No response.
I think they're busy. I'm going to go look for food, and I head towards like the kitchen area.
Socks, I think I can safely say that this meat does not speak.
You're not sure there's any meat on these bones. Not anything that a kobold would want.
It does not look tasty, and I don't think we should eat it.
I second this. Eating it seems like a really bad idea. No, don't go outside. It's winter.
Well, in fairness, we don't actually know where we are. We could be on the other side of the planet.
But it's not that cold in here, right?
It might be winter.
No, it's not warm. It's not cold.
But there's no fire going.
There's no fire going.
Did I find any food?
Nothing that wherever we are considered to be food.
So wherever we are, it can't be that cold outside. Is there glass in the windows?
The windows are fairly high up. Okay. And they're kind of small, but you think there might be glass in them, yes.
All right, let's open the door.
Okay, I go over to the door and I push it.
It opens with very little resistance.
This door was not as loud as the other door.
Oh, no, there is the whole 30-second horror movie creaking sound.
Oh, no. Okay, so it was.
it was disused. It wasn't moved a whole lot.
Yeah. Okay.
So this door is differently loud.
Differently loud, yes.
Yes.
Still
so
loud.
What's out there?
Okay, so you see in the distance, you see jagged mountain peaks that look like something out of a horror movie, in that they're not like inverted triangles like you would normally see, like when a 5-year-old is drawing mountains, they just make that zigzag line that goes across. These peaks in some cases look like they defy gravity. They're almost like lightning bolts turned into mountains. Those are off in the distance in any direction you look. Coincidentally, you did get a look of Coombridge Valley when you arrived in the location where the Chippeclaw make their home. It is a valley totally surrounded by mountains, except for one side where there's swamp. So
I don't think the mountains looked like this.
Oh, no, they didn't look like this. The placement is... maybe right. Maybe these mountains are further away. It's hard for you to judge that at that distance. There's a matter of perspective that's lacking. There are woods between you and the mountains that are dark and foreboding, with trees that are crooked and leaning in sinister directions as well. As you get closer and closer, as you start focusing on things that are closer to you, you do see rolling hills covered in farmland with scattered farmhouses. From this distance, it's hard to say for sure, but you have a feeling, especially when you look at some of the silos in the distance, that they are all as dilapidated as the structure that you just left. Some of the silos have had the tops of them cave in. As you look at the farms, there are people out and about, but that depends.
Or skeletons.
That depends on your definition of people.
Right.
There are individuals that are walking through fields with scythes. swinging them as if to harvest things, but nothing has grown high enough for them to use them on. There are other people who are pulling handfuls of something. They're too far away for you to see for sure. You imagine they would be seeds somewhere else. But when the being that's tossing this stuff on the ground is a corpse, not a skeleton, they've got some volume there. You cannot see right through them, Mr. Rogue. To quote a particular video that some of my friends really enjoy. But they're scattering things like they're sowing seeds, which should be done in a totally different time of year compared to the harvest. There are others that are plowing fields with skeletal and or zombified oxen or horses pulling the plows. These are all done at different times of the year, but they're all doing these activities at the same time in various fields that you can see off in various places. Everywhere it is, like the sky above you is dark rolling clouds moving very slowly. Like there's, maybe they're not even moving. If there's a wind, there's not much of it. There's enough light for you to see. There's enough light that you think a human would be able to see, but it's not really coming from anywhere in particular. It's
I not don't like this place.
It's not like there's a sun on the other side of the clouds that could peek through in a moment.
I really, really don't like this place. I just want to say that. It's full of things that should be soft things, but either they're a really bad kind of soft or they're bone things instead. And
they're farming.
What are they farming? What? They don't eat.
Exactly. They don't need food. Why are they so interested in growing food?
And they're maybe not farming well either. They're trying to scythe at things that aren't high enough.
They're doing the things that they would have done if they were still alive.
Yes, and they're doing a very bad job at them.
Well, I guess we're mm-hmm. lucky they were farmers and knitters and not, like, barbarians and archers.
Cannibals. That would just be weird.
That is very observant of you.
Nope.
Who said that?
So, from behind the farmhouse comes a horse. It's in the same state as everything else.
Hmm.
As is its rider, who extends an arm straight out to the side, and there are three winged kobolds sort of just chewing on it in various places.
Oh, those are ours. Sorry. I didn't catch
that. If we take these, can we go home?
You are free to go wherever you wish to be. Yes.
Okay. Baby kobolds, come back.
They hear your voice, and they all fly over to you. The kobolds do, not this person on the horse.
Yeah. The Gox is still surprised that they listened. And I, like, reach up and try to, like, catch at least one.
Okay. Otta climbs under your hat.
Got one.
Daldane, I'll start playing so that hopefully they'll pay attention to me.
So, do you know how to go back through the portal that brought us here?
This creature on the horse pulls out a cube and says,
I believe this device is what brought you here.
Oh, the box.
A curious contraption.
May we have it?
Sorry, laughing at what's been typed.
Socks and Gox get lost in a box.
Yeah.
The horse trots a little bit closer to you, and this being gets off of it. Very gracefully. It's not moving like it's dead. The other beings that you see all move with a sort of stiffness to them. This being looks, it's very obviously not alive. It is very clearly undead, but it moves like it's, like it remembers how to. And its decayed body isn't really that much of a hindrance. So it hops down and comes over and hands it to you.
Seeley takes the box and, well, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful day with this farming.
What did this?
I don't know what you mean.
Is everybody that lives here like you?
Oh, no. No, there are many who live here. We do not. But I always enjoyed puns.
That was a very good pun. What? Mildew.
I was not a very good person.
You have been very helpful to us, though.
So long as you do nothing to oppose my master, I am free to do as I please. And your appearance has avoided some of the tedium of this realm.
What do you call this realm?
I believe this place is usually referred to as the Shadowfell.
Nope.
Calm down, brother. That's an interesting gnome. It's okay.
Who is your master?
Can I roll, like, an arcana or a religion check or something?
Go right ahead.
To see if I know what the heck that is.
It would be arcana.
Okay.
I appreciate they got a nope.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was in character or not, but that was definitely a Chris.
Zeely and I are both as completely confused about what a Shadowfell is.
That was a combination of character and Chris being terrified.
Okay, well, anyone else who wants to roll an Arcana check may do so.
Oh, I don't think I can. I have a -2. There's really no point.
I can certainly try. 3.
Nope, you don't know what the Shadowfell is either.
Wow!
Gox is starting to get used to these guys, you know? They're not bugging us. They gave us back the babies. They're not so bad.
Nope.
So what does a 23 give me?
Okay, so the Shadowfell, and it's a plane that mirrors the prime material. It's kind of like not the opposite of the Feywild, but kind of the opposite of the Feywild, where you can recognize big landmarks, but they're twisted in various ways. And there are creatures that are native to the Feywild that only live there. There's creatures that are native to the Shadowfell that only live there. The Feywild is, as the name would imply, much more of a wild location where emotions are much more mercurial and emphasized. The Shadowfell is much more muted in many ways. Matter of fact, it occurs to you that you're the only sources of color that you see. Everything else is just grays.
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, Shadowfell, that's, is that a country or such?
It is a reality, a plane of existence.
Who is your master?
Marathomax.
That's a big name.
That's a longer name than mine.
Is your master big?
Oh, very much so. In more than one way. Her strength is immense, as was her anger when I failed her, and was turned into this,
and he gestures at himself,
and given this charge.
Gox is slightly confused, so he's going to be quiet.
Okay. What is your name?
Tim.
That's a good name. Easy to remember. Easy to say. My name's Gox.
Gox is a good name, too.
Thank you.
I am Daldon. That is Sox, and that is Zulu.
I apologize for my confusion. I can't say I've ever been to another plane of existence before.
It was a new experience for me as well.
Where did you come from?
I came from a world known as Circulus.
That's where we came from, too.
Ah, and I imagine you were in the kingdom of Coomeridge before you came here?
Yes.
He nods at that.
It makes sense. The prime material is often mirrored in strange ways in the Shadowfell. But
you know, I wonder if this is where that zombie came from. And all the one that was hiding in the alcove and such.
Oh, I remember that one.
Didn't Meepo first tell us there was zombies around?
I don't remember.
There were quite a few for a time. Now, most of those that are left are here, and it is my charge to watch over them until they are needed.
Needed by who?
My master.
What does a master that's strong in many ways need people for?
And what does she look like?
He shrugs.
There is always a need for cannon fodder in wars. As for what my master looks like, I never saw her.
Who are you at war with?
Anyone who opposes my master.
Is there a war currently going on somewhere?
I am sure there is, but for the time, my master has her attention elsewhere, so we are left to our own devices. It has been very boring. Well, I am sure that you are eager to go home. It was interesting to meet you.
Thank you for your help, Tim.
Zeely takes off her hat.
Tim extends his hand to shake and then looks at his hand and says,
You might not want to. Never mind.
Here. And Zeely hands her magnificent orange hat with like a bazillion ribbons and flowers and stuff, most of which have been added on afterwards, too.
Are you sure?
Well, this place isn't very colorful, is it? So, and you did bring us our charges, so here.
I appreciate that they are no longer chewing on me.
To be fair, they chew on us, too. It's what they do.
Well, I'm not exactly fresh meat.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Thank you for the hat. It is very colorful. I think I will place it where I get to see it more often.
And he puts it on top of the horse's head.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Nods.
The color will fade in time, but it will be nice for a little while.
Well, Tim, it was good to meet you. We should probably go back with these baby kobolds.
Ellie, just...
You are holding this small cube. What do you do?
Who is holding it?
Tim handed it to Zeely.
Okay.
Zeely looks for buttons.
You see no
keyholes.
There are no
any
keyholes.
Kind.
Try shaking
it. Is there anything
it.
On it except the blank?
Nope.
Try shaking it. Maybe it'll shake open.
Zeely sniffs it.
It smells like it's been at the pile of items that are owned by kobolds and perhaps were not washed before they were put in the pile.
So it smells like home.
It does smell a bit like home, yes. In that, you're oddly comforted.
Did you try shaking it?
Zeely cautiously shakes it.
Nothing happens.
A problem?
We don't know what we're doing.
Unfortunately, he's correct.
That is more common than you imagine. May I?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, you hand it back to Tim, and he looks at it.
This will require some study. I imagine it will get very boring for you, but that is normal. I, however, am a warlock. I have spent much of my life, and some of my unlife, unlocking secrets and things I'm not supposed to understand. I should be able to figure it out.
That's great. Then we could get back home.
While I'm doing this, would you mind repaying me with a favor?
What sort of favor?
Near the edge of the farmland, some of my charges have gone missing. Some of them... Parts of them went missing, but other parts were found. They are not very strong. You may have noticed they're somewhat single-minded in their activities. So they are not a big help when I inquire as to what has ripped them to shreds.
What kinds of things might be in your realm that could do that?
this is the Shadowfell. Any threats that you find in Circulus, you could find here, and perhaps a few other things. The Shadowfell has a way of twisting things that stay here too long. The undead are mostly immune to this. I suppose it's why this is such a convenient place for us to wait.
So, you want us to find out what got them, or you want us to kill what got them, or you want us to bring it back so you can see what it is?
Any of those would be sufficient. If you can kill the threat, that would be appreciated. If you think it is too strong for you, which is a possibility, letting me know what it looks like would at least help me prepare properly to deal with it myself.
I think we can do that. Thank you for your assistance.
Think I am strong, and I will try my best to kill off whatever hurt your people.
He nods at that.
Most of those that disappeared were on farms at the end of this road.
And he points to a road that it's not right next to you, but it's within easy walking distance, and it extends off towards the woods. Okay, due to a variety of things, we are going to end it now on this little plot point where the party has agreed, maybe unilaterally agreed because one person said okay, two people, I think, to help this undead warlock known as Tim to stop zombies from being eaten or torn apart or whatever. But thank you for joining us for this wonderful little game we play on Mondays. We've had a bunch of people with us. Is there anyone who wants to plug things? Chris?
My brain just farted there for a second. My Twitter, Akari_Mac. And you can follow my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast. Our website is azerothctc.com.
And Jen?
You can find me on Twitch at Queen of Haiku, usually streaming D3. And my website is Book of Jen. It's got a bunch of gaming stuff, a couple of podcasts, and a bunch of other stuff to check out.
Ellie? My mother has requested I plug her books. So she's Elizabeth McCoy. She writes science fiction and fantasy novels. And you can find her books on Amazon and Smashwords. And possibly iBooks. I think iBooks. Yeah.
Consider her books plugged. And Ellie.
You can find me on Mastodon at Elek, ELEKK.xyz.
Which is a fantastic Mastodon instance. All of us except for Chris are on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, links in the show notes. All right. So, thank you all for playing, and we will see you next week. Goodbye. Mm-hmm.